Hello, CTSNet friends, and welcome to another CTSNet podcast. In the podcast this week, in full flow, we're going to tell you our thoughts on how to save aortic valve surgery. There's an amazing few new ideas that we got at the SCTS conference just last week, and I want to share them with you. Also, there is a really good article that we're going to tell you about AVR for moderate aortic stenosis. Plenty of other articles on univentricular heart versus biventricular, and we've got some brilliant videos. The video of Lars Svensson doing his valve-sparing root replacement, Tristan Yan showing us all about CABG and a thoracic hydatid cyst. So stay tuned for another awesome episode of the CTS NateBeat podcast. So hi, and thank you so much for joining us on this CTS NateBeat podcast. My name's Joel Dunning, and I go through all the news and exciting things going on in the world of cardiothoracic surgery so that you don't have to. We always start off with an interesting topic, and I don't think there's anything bigger for us to talk about in full flow today than the topic of aortic valve replacement. It's huge. We feel very under the cosh as cardiac surgeons. You know, TAVR is just shooting towards ourselves. We heard those horrific stories of half of under 50-year-olds in California are getting TAVRs. I mean, it's just crazy, the march towards TAVR versus a very good operation of surgical AVR. And we've highlighted loads of papers in the last few weeks all about how low risk a TAVR is in the modern era in young people. We had an absolutely amazing talk by Professor Enoch Okoa in the SCTS conference, and I just really want to talk about this because it was just blew my mind. It's the best study we could ever do altogether. So what is the problem? Well, the problem, Enoch said, was let's look at all the units in the UK. What percentage in young people do mechanical or biological valves at the moment? He took 50 to 60-year-olds, and he showed that some units, about 20% of the time, they're using a biological valve. In others, the highest was 78% biological valves. So we, as surgeons, are massively varying how often we give a mechanical or a biological valve to a young person. These are 50 to 60-year-olds. Now, this is part of the problem. Are we being persuaded by cardiologists and industry that a mechanical valve is the evil, terrible boogeyman, and that it must be avoided at all costs, which allows the door to be open for TAVR, because of course they can't do mechanical AVRs, can they? So if we persuade ourselves as surgeons that it's fine to have a biological valve when you're really, really young, then the door is open. The next step is, well, do TAVR, don't do surgery. Whereas if we stick to our guns and say in a really young person, a mechanical valve will keep you safe and okay for the next 40 years without further intervention, then that has only one answer. You know, you need an operation, but we'll make it the best operation ever. We've seen STS data saying there's a 0.4% mortality these days. So is a mechanical valve the best solution for young patients? Enoch also showed us some phenomenal data about adverse mortality in people having biological valves nationally in the UK. And he showed some American data and some Australian data. And the survival curves are less for the same matched age people if you have a biological valve versus a mechanical. So this then comes to the problem. None of this data will be considered at all by cardiologists because it's not randomized trial data. So the solution that is being proposed is a trial called Best AVR. But this is genius. Take 4,000 patients in perhaps 10 countries, that's the proposal. Randomize those 50 to 60-year-olds to mechanical or biological aortic valve replacement. Because remember, we've got equipoise. Depending on where you go in the UK, you're either 20% or 80% likely to get a biological valve. So a lot of people have got equipoise. Randomize them. And then here's the next bit of genius. Use our national data sets to do all the follow-up to make it nice and cheap. So basically, the study just documents the patient's name and details. We use our national databases to follow them up, have a primary outcome as survival, which is dead easy to follow up. And what do you get? Well, It's going to be a huge study. They're talking about £6 million, but they're also talking about up to 15 years of follow-up. Now, 15 years, the battle might be lost, mightn't it? So they're going to do interim analysis, and the first interim analysis will be at 5 years. But imagine this as a study in cardiac surgery worldwide, a study that says mechanical aortic valve replacements are better. That would be just groundbreaking and huge. And it would finally give that line in the sand to say, in this age group, you will live longer if you have a mechanical valve. Now, you might be there shouting at the screen going, what? Mechanical valves are the worst thing ever. You get all those bleeding complications. It's terrible. Free the patient, release them by having a tissue valve. And then they won't have to think about it at all. But of course, we'll just do a few little procedures every 10 years. Now, that might actually be the answer, in which case this study will show that answer as well. So it's a win-win. The study is going to be powered for superiority of either arm. So if mechanical wins, it wins. If biological wins, it wins. But we get the real proper answer. But to me, this was like the clouds parting. Suddenly hearing this as a study, I just thought, wow, this is just the answer to what are we doing in aortic valve replacements. Also, it'll be non-industry sponsored. It needs to be supported by cardiac surgeons all over the world. And then if we get the answer to is a mechanical valve better for survival than a biological valve, really, I think that could save aortic valve surgery, worldwide for the next couple of decades. So I wonder what you think about this. I think it's just amazing. I'm going to try and grab an interview with Enoch Okoa to talk more about this. He does warn this is a very early stage. They haven't even got stage one acceptance of funding or anything like that. Maybe you've got some ideas about funding out there. Maybe you want to contribute and get involved, because 4,100 patients having aortic valve replacements surgically really is going to need a lot of centres, a lot of help. So offer, say we're going to help you and let's save aortic valve surgery together. I think it's a great idea. It was also pointed out this would be the first randomized trial in aortic valve surgery for 40 years. Nobody's doing research in the good old trusted surgical AVR space. So I think this is just wonderful. And that does bring me on, moving swiftly on to a paper that we are highlighting this week in CTSnet. We have got a really good paper from the European Heart Journal. And in this European Heart Journal paper, the title is The Great Debate, Symptomatic Moderate Aortic Stenosis. Should it or shouldn't it undergo intervention? So we might have our mechanical and biological AVR study going, but the other thing we could do is think more carefully about moderate aortic stenosis. And it's actually a really good article. It's a balanced article because there is a pro side and a con side. So the pro side is being put forward by Nina Marsan. And on the pro side, it's really well put together. There's some visual abstracts. We'll try and put some copies in here. It says that actually the mortality in multiple cohort and registry studies of moderate aortic stenosis is really quite high. The second thing that's really persuasive is that often large registry moderate aortic stenosis can progress to severe aortic stenosis quite rapidly. So you've got a high mortality group, you've got rapid progression, and the other problem is that even moderate aortic stenosis patients can develop LV dysfunction. So you've got three really good reasons to think about perhaps moving the goalposts down to these symptomatic moderate aortic stenosis patients. Remember, symptomatic. I skimped through this article, which is free, full text. You can click on it right now. And there were some, just interesting things. There was a study of 508 patients with moderate aortic stenosis followed up for about 6 or 7 years. And actually, 50% of the patients died being followed up. So that was very high and much higher than a matched general population cohort. Also, 25% of them developed severe aortic stenosis quite quickly and need an aortic valve replacement. So that's a quarter of the total cohort. So a quarter needed an AVR, half of them died, high-risk cohort. And that was just repeated over quite a few other registries that Nina did a really good job of summarizing by means of evidence literature review. The other really interesting thing, which I don't know if you think this is good or bad, but there are three randomized trials actually ongoing in the moderate aortic stenosis space. Now, of course, you'll be horrified to hear that they're all TAVI studies, but anyway, they're being done. One's called TAVA Unload, an Edwards-sponsored study. One's called the PROGRESS trial, another Edwards study, and another one's called EXPAND TAVA 2, pivotal trial, and that's a Medtronic study. But think about it again. If we have a study proving that mechanical valves are better than biological, if we have a studies proving that moderate aortic stenosis can safely be treated and reduces mortality, then that's two really great things in support of well-performed, low-risk aortic valve replacement surgery. Whew. So anyway, that's my my full flow discussion about how to save aortic valve surgery. And that's coming from a thoracic surgeon as well. You know, I really should do some more cardiac surgery. It actually seriously was my favorite operation, doing an aortic valve surgery. Also, I'm a left-hander. And Catherine Sudarshan and a few other left-handers said, you know what, an AVR is done more easily by a left-hander than a right-hander as well. It's just the way it flows around non-coronary right then left. All the stitches go much easier. Maybe we should hear from Tristan Yan about that. And he's got some videos coming up on CTSNet this week as well. So for all those reasons, I want to see the future of aortic valve surgery getting bigger, getting better, and fixing a lot of people. Just a final word on that article. There were some contra debates about moderate aortic stenosis. I shouldn't leave you just saying, let's get moderate aortic stenosis fixed all the time, because against... there's a thought that increased comorbidities of these groups might be causative of why they have increased mortality. And actually, even mild aortic stenosis and aortic sclerosis had a slight increased mortality compared to general population. So maybe whatever process is causing the stenosis might be causing problems elsewhere. So it might not just be the moderate factor. No randomized trials yet, although they're coming, as I say. And the other thing is, actually, maybe we're just not measuring the moderate aortic stenosis correctly. Maybe there is a decent group of low flow, low gradient aortic stenosis. So maybe it's a nomenclature or echocardiography issue. And maybe there's more that we should look at technically on the echo. Failure to capture the highest velocity, failure to calculate the correct valve area, and failure to do a size indexed calculation of aortic valve area. So actually, the con debate was as much, have we got the criteria of severe correct as a no, don't operate on the moderates, which I thought also was quite interesting. And it doesn't stand to reason, does it, that suddenly someone's fine and doesn't need an AVR, and then suddenly when it's severe, they need an operation. So altogether, very interesting. Better move on, hadn't we? So if we move on to some other articles that we are highlighting in CTSNet this week, we've got a nice article from Sia Bowman and David Rechtman, Jabaris Swain, and many others, called A Global Systematic Review of Open Heart Valvular Surgery in Resource-Limited Settings. This is in the Annals of Thoracic Surgery this week, and many of you may have heard of Sia Bowman. She's Chip Bowman's wife. She's a nurse, and she's an absolute rocket. They do loads of surgery in Rwanda, and they put together a really good meta-analysis and literature review of papers in resource-limited countries looking at issues that they face. There were 67 publications in this paper, half from Asia, half from Africa, and a bit of Latin America. They stated the kind of patients they operate on. Obviously, rheumatic heart disease is huge out there. And then they concentrated on really important things, like especially probably one of the biggest debates we have when we go out doing heart surgery missions is, can they follow up anticoagulation properly? And some thoughts about that sort of, again, brings up the mechanical versus biological debate, but for extremely different reasons. If you can't follow up mechanical warfarin, then maybe you have to put a biological valve in. And also in extremely young females who haven't yet had children, there's a lot of push back to put a biological valve until they've had their children, although that's hugely controversial because there's also a lot of people that say it is safe to have a child while on warfarin. You just bridge to tinzapyrine for a bit, and then you often these resource limited countries cannot have redo surgery. So it was a really interesting article, lots to read up on that. Annals of Thoracic Surgery this month, check that out. And the third article we selected for you on CTSNet this week was an analysis of heart transplantation in univentricular versus biventricular hearts in patients with congenital heart surgery, congenital heart conditions. And I guess it is quite interesting, isn't it? Because if someone's got a univentricular heart, then surely they would have, you know, maybe a much different physiology. And therefore, when they have a normal heart transplanted into them, maybe they have a much worse outcome. And actually, this article does actually bear that out. So this is a really good article in the European Journal of Cardiothoracic Surgery. It's entitled Long-Term Outcomes of Heart Transplant in Adults with Univentricular versus Biventricular Congenital Surgery. Nabil Dib, Sarah Cohen, and many others. And it says that the odds ratio of mortality in hospital is three times higher. But actually, if you get out of hospital, the survival's the same. So difficult physiology to overcome, probably big high pulmonary artery pressures, etc. Lots of things I don't understand, but yeah, higher risk perioperatively, but really good long-term outcomes, which I was pleased to see, really. So well done to that team for publishing that. So I'll hand you over to the office, who'll tell you what else is on CTSNet this week.
Take advantage of the features on your profile page to tell the CTSNet community more about yourself. Head to ctsnet.org/user to update your background, place of work, and contact information. When you're done, head to the profiles page to stay connected with colleagues and learn more about your fellow CTSNet members.
We've got three absolutely stunning videos for you on CTSNet this week. And actually, I'm personally very proud of the quality of videos we're now getting. We have commissioned some that we do ourselves. We've got some ones that are being sent in, specially on request. And I love to talk to you if you've got a really interesting video that you want to send in, because that's sometimes how we get our best content. And there's an example of each this week. So the first one is in our World's Best series. It's Lars Svensson doing an aortic root replacement, a valve sparing root replacement. So I flew out with the CTSNet video professional team to Cleveland Clinic, voted 29 times in US News World's Best Center. And I guess the top surgeon there, the chairman, is Lars Svensson, president of the AATS. You know, if he's the best in the best center in the world, maybe he's the best in the world. So anyway, you can find out, because we had the opportunity to go in and watch him operate, doing one of his favorite operations, a valve sparing root replacement, probably the operation he is also most well known for. We had a great interview with him where he explained it. He talked at a very high level. So really one for the hints and tips of very high level people doing this operation, and then we went in and videoed it. So I really hope you like it. I think it was an absolute beaut, and there's plenty more in this series coming each week over the next 6 to 8 weeks from the Cleveland Clinic. The second video is from the wonderful Professor Tristan Yan. I just love everything Tristan Yan does. He's sending us so many great videos. He's got loads of great robotic videos. He does aortic valve replacement and mitral valve through the same approach robotically. But he has also sent us a wonderful set of off-pump CABG videos. he really feels that he wants to show people what a relaxing, gentle procedure this can be with vastly low mortality. And he kicks off this series with a how to position the heart. Also, there's going to be a Lima to LAD and a radial graft to an OM in here. You'll actually hear him talking. He's in theatre, chatting, telling you how he does it. And he's so relaxed. He's really good. It's a brilliant technique. He never touches the aorta. Lima to LAD and does a radial that he Y grafts off the lemur, and then he just does all the grafts off that radial all the way around, even including the PDA. So this is actually a series. We're just kicking it off with the first video, which is an overview, and then we're going to do a series of videos doing every single graft, and we're going to show you every single stitch. He's got some really interesting techniques. He actually side-to-sides his Lima to LAD, and he'll show you why he feels that's important. It's to check that the anastomosis is perfect. He does lots of side-to-side radials to the obtuse marginals and PDs, etc. So have a look at that video. Really, really good, really relaxed. And actually, he's quite quick, because in his previous video that we showed last week, we've shown how he could do 6 operations, including 3 COBGs, all in one day in 2 ORs. So great job, Tristan. We're looking forward to many more in this series from you. And check that out on the website right now. And the final video this week is a thoracic video. We had better turn across our attention to us little poor thoracic surgeons and try have something for us. And what we've got this week is a banger of a case. It's by Hein Bourgeois, Mohamed Redai, and it's a right-upper lobectomy, but for a massive hydatid cyst. And this is a uniportal VATS case. They show the stunning CT of this giant hydatid cyst. They go in uniportally. They actually suck out the cyst using hypertonic saline to try and not splash it around the chest. They splash it out. There's an enormous cavity, and basically there's a massive BPF. So they can't really do anything about that. So the only thing they can do is excise everything, which needs a right upper lobectomy, but it's stuck as hell. So they showed us all about how to unstick it, how to eventually get there to get that right upper lobectomy done. So quite a mammoth task, this one. Definitely an operation not seen much in the West, seen much more in the Middle East, but they've done really, really well. And you know, it's the sort of thing we only see a couple of times in a career in the West, so check this out before you have to do one yourself. But well done, the team there. So that's about it for this week. Obviously, we've got AATS coming up, London Core Review coming up, all sorts of things like that. So it's really exciting few months coming ahead. We've got lots of new series coming along. So do keep tuning in, and thank you for watching all the way to the end. I also have been receiving lots of really great comments from you guys who are telling me where you're listening to me. So if you're driving to work in your car or going for a jog on a Sunday, it's a pleasure to be right with you. As you listen to me, Joel Denning, on the CTS NetBeat podcast.